The light is on. Oh, now it's on. I will start over. Now it sounds too loud. Good evening and welcome to the October 19th, 2022 Public Works Advisory Board meeting. This meeting is now called to order. It is 5:34 p.m. And let's start with Mr. Kwolek taking a roll call.
Thank you. Acting Chair Beal, Jan Goldman.
Here.
John Irwin.
Here.
Robert Nava.
Here.
Doug Rogers is absent. Joan Graffia is absent. Ian Gaffney is absent. And Lori Beal.
Here.
Okay, we have four present. We do have quorum.
Very well. Next on our agenda, we observe a moment of silence. Thank you. And now we proceed with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would a board member volunteer to lead us? Thanks, Jan. Next, do any board members have any announcements that they would like to make?
Yeah, I noticed something when I was wandering around. Bike lanes on North Main have been kind of an issue for a while because, you know, you got a 3-foot lane on one side and about an 8-foot lane on the other. And we have now just about completed the frontage improvements on the east side of North Main. So at some point when we restripe North Main Street, maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, it looks like, consider making some adjustments so the lanes actually work the way they're supposed to work. But that's just a comment.
Thank you. Any other board member comments or announcements? I will announce for my part that I was invited to and attended a traffic safety program put on by Slow Transit and other authorities. Unfortunately, I ended up with a conflict and was only able to attend for one of the two sessions. There was another Morro Bay member there, but I don't recall who it was. And it was just, it was interesting. There were a lot of presentations about improvements for traffic safety with the goal of reducing injuries, deaths, particularly pedestrian bike injuries that were discussed. So if anyone has questions about that, let me know. Anything else? All right, next on our agenda is an opportunity for public comment. This is primarily for comments on items that are not on our agenda. However, if you are unable to stay until the agenda item you're interested in is discussed, please do feel free to comment at this time. I'll first ask for members of the audience. Thank you.
My name is Homer Alexander. I am on the committee that is promoting Measure B-22. Which is the $120 a year harbor infrastructure parcel tax. I have several pictures that clearly shows why it is so important that our harbor department has a dependable source of revenue to maintain our waterfront infrastructure. Could we display picture slide number one, please?
Sorry about that. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, it's displayed.
This picture was taken 5 years ago of a seawall in the middle of the Embarcadero. Note the individual in the picture is pointing to the middle section, which is close to collapsing into the bay. When the middle section fails, the top section will go. Next will be the walkway in front of the building. I assume that that at that point, the building would be deemed uninhabitable and the business would close. The second slide, please. This picture shows the work in process to repair that seawall. And the third slide. This is the picture of the completed seawall. The replacement cost of the seawall was $1.5 million. Since the Harbor Department did not have the money, they had to borrow it. Common sense would suggest that if the money would have been available, routine maintenance could have prevented the need for a total replacement. Our opposition agrees that there is a need to fund harbor infrastructure. Their objection is the way the three of us have chosen to generate the revenue. Most of their alternative ideas are either impractical, illegal, or don't raise enough money. The only real alternative they offer is to divert money from the general fund to the harbor fund. The amount diverted would equal the sales and the TOT taxes collected on the west side of the Embarcadero. As simple as that sounds, doing so just reduces the amount of money available in the general fund to maintain our streets and other capital expenses that you will be reviewing tonight when you discuss the capital projects update, item number C3. The simple fact is the city only has so much money. That's why this is so important. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comments from the live audience here present? Okay, if not, AGP video, do we have any virtual audience member who would like to comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no virtual audience members wishing to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. We will now move on to our business items, starting with A1, which is approval of the meeting minutes for the last meeting on August 17th. The staff recommendation is to approve as submitted. However, I have noted a mistake in the minutes that I would like to bring to your attention. The minutes state that I was absent from the meeting, and they also state that I seconded a motion at the same meeting. I think I was there. I was there. So I would ask that that be corrected. And with that, would any board members care to discuss the minutes?
I caught that same typo or error, okay. But I had no other concerns with the minutes.
Okay.
Nor had I.
Thank you. Any public comment regarding item A1? Any virtual comments on item A1?
Thank you, Chair. We have no virtual comment.
Thank you. Then we would ask a board member if they wish to bring a motion to approve the minutes.
I move that the minutes be approved.
I second it.
I second it.
Third it. You can third it. Okay. Thank you. Next, we have business item A2 is the director's update, please.
Thank you, Acting Chair Beal. I won't go through the entire director's update as it was included in the agenda packet, but there's a couple things I'd like to highlight. Number one, you saw a picture of Matt Bishop, I think on page 3 of the update. So it's something we're very proud of. We work hard in the Public Works Department to get folks trained up and put them in roles that meet their skill set. And we've done this with Mr. Bishop. Mr. Bishop was previously, he came up through the maintenance division. He began this, at the city as a lead worker. in the maintenance division. He was then promoted to maintenance supervisor and for a short time served as acting superintendent after our superintendent retired. But he was really interested in public works inspection, and that was very fortuitous because the public works department, to my knowledge, has never had a public works inspector, which is very unusual for a city of our size. And so we have the past 4 months or so been training him up in the engineering division to be a public works inspector. And what that means is, as we have work that's being done in the public right-of-way, whether it's work by our contractors or if there's a homeowner that's having work done in the public right-of-way, the public works inspector is present and making sure that they are that those contractors are doing work to our code and to our engineering standards. At times he's checking quantities so that when we receive invoices from these contractors, in the case of our capital projects, we can be assured that the quantities that we're being billed for are the quantities that have actually been put out there in the field. And it's just a really exciting thing for our engineering division to be able to beef up a little bit, to be a bit more perfectionist. And much of this is being done under the leadership of our city engineer and division manager, Eric Riddio. So kudos to the engineering division, Eric and Matt, for that. The other thing I'd like to highlight is I'll also talk a bit about the restriping. So our new superintendent of maintenance, Dale Simpson, whom I believe you met at our last meeting, had a contractor do some striping around the roundabout. We got a lot of compliments for that. So we're hoping to make restriping a bit more routine. It has been neglected in previous years, so we are using our limited resources to put some attention to that. And then the final highlight, the plant, we did start it up last week, last Tuesday, on I believe October 5th. As you could see from the director's report, it didn't quite work as we had wanted it to. And so eventually we started diverting flows back to the old wastewater treatment plant. I would just like to highlight that there was a decision made before we started up the new plant to keep the old plant on standby, just in case things didn't work out. And that decision by our operators turned out to be very wise because as issues started coming up in the startup of the new plant, we rested easy knowing that we could simply divert the wastewater back to the old plant and not have to store it long-term in basins up at the new plant while we can work on those issues and troubleshoot and things like that. So we have since restarted sending wastewater up to the new plant 2 days after. So that would have been last Thursday. We're not sending all of our wastewater yet to the new plant. We're alternating between the new plant and the old plant, and we're feeding the bugs in the seed sludge, and things are going well, and we're going to incrementally increase how much wastewater we're sending to the new plant until we're ready to just bring it fully online. So this is part of our normal startup phase. We expect our startup phase, which again involves a lot of troubleshooting, testing backup generators, testing alarm systems, testing our SCADA system and computer systems. We expect this startup phase to continue sometime into January, at which point we'll bring the new plant into full operation. So with that, I'll take any questions on the director's report.
Was this per a work plan that was submitted for the startup of the wastewater plant, or was this going to turn into a change order?
Unknown at this time whether it's going to turn into a change order. There's some differences of opinion, as one could imagine, between the city and the design build contractor as to what happened. And so that's currently being evaluated by two third parties, one that's been hired by Carollo and one that's been hired by the design build contractor. And so there's still, you know, some areas that are not fully known yet about what happened. Part of the trick is, as we're investigating this, we're also starting up the plant at the same time with staff and running the old plant at the same time with the same amount of staff. So the investigation is taking a bit of a back seat to getting this plant online. But it is ongoing, and once we have results from that, we could say more about exactly what happened and is there going to be a change order or anything like that.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board members? Hearing none.
I had a couple things coming up.
Your mic.
I had a couple questions, which I think I sent an email out, but traffic engineering, I noticed, you know, there was a comment in there that, you know, where people had complained about traffic. I've noticed cars driving on San Jacinto regularly around 50 miles an hour as they come down the hill, and it just makes it interesting for kids to cross the street there when they go to school. I understand that I had some questions on the anvil construction there. Did they ever figure out what the unknown cementitious subgrade and conduits were in South Bay? Or was it just, was there something that had to be restored?
That's a question I don't have an answer to right now. It's certainly one that we can get an answer.
Yeah, you know, if they didn't have to be repaired, that was one thing. If somebody claimed them in the end, then that would be a different issue. How is the injection well project going on the WRF?
Sure, it's a good question. Injection well project is going well. The construction of the test well is complete. And we did a step injection test this past Friday that's going to inform our flow rate for the extended injection test. The advanced treatment process is scheduled to perform validation testing in November and December of 2022. Damaris was unable to make it tonight due to her involvement with plant startup, but I think next month she could provide some more detail on that. But it does continue.
Okay. And then the other question I had there was regarding waste management. I understand that the city council has an agreement with IWMA for training and things like that. And I was wondering, will this include us doing some sort of audit to make sure they actually do what they say they're going to do? Because I understand there were some issues with the IWMA the last few years with some improperly documented costs.
You know, at this time, there's no audit planned of the IWMA, certainly not by the city of Morro Bay or in any collective sense that I'm aware of. The IWMA has gone through a couple of executive directors. Right now, their new executive director is Peter Cron, who is very well known locally in waste hauling. He's worked for the waste hauler, he's worked for the county, he's worked for the city of SLO, and he's very well qualified to run this organization. So he's stepping in and figuring things out. Janine and I have met with him on a couple of items. I have a lot of confidence in him, and I mean, he's been there a handful of months, so. I would certainly, we certainly have high expectations of the IWMA because the tasks that we've delegated to them are big in terms of educating our public and performing outreach duties, as well as coordinating a lot of the SB 1383 activities for compliance with that law. And perhaps if the PWAB was interested, you know, maybe not in the next couple months, but sometime in early 2023, we could have IWMA come out and do a presentation on what their plans are and what they're working on, if that was of interest to the group.
Good, thank you.
I have a clarification that I think this is probably for Eric. It was on the Capitol project status update. I always have been reading over the years on these reports about the Beachcomber Main thing, and they're both capitalized, Beachcomber and Main. So is that Beachcomber and Main Street, or is it a Main on Beachcomber? And if it's Beachcomber and Main, how are they connected?
So this is actually for a separate item, but Eric, if you want to just quickly answer that question.
Yeah,
so there are two different sewer main projects, Main being a main line, and that refers to the main line. So the Beachcomber main line, there's another project that's off of the main line to, they're actually smaller main lines that go through the backyards of the beach,
the back. Correct?
And then there's a separate sewer main project that's at Tascadero and Main Street.
So okay.
Lots of mains, but yes, they are separate projects.
Okay, because I was trying to picture where this line would go to connect Beachcomber and Main. That's one thing. And then another thing, I have a small little confession to make about something I did today quite by accident. I was watering my planter boxes that I tend to on the corner of Main Street and Morro Bay Boulevard. I had 2 1-gallon containers, and I emptied one, set it on the edge of the planter while I was emptying the other one, and a gust of wind came along, blew my gallon can off over the curb, and I thought, no problem. But unfortunately, it was at a storm drain opening, so it continued on down. So now, where does it go? Will I ever get it back, and what damage will it do in the storm drain?
If you send me an email about that, we could have one of the guys.
Because I looked down there, and I couldn't see it at all, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to get washed down somewhere and block something up.
Yeah, you could send me an email about that.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the director's update?
All right, if there are no other board questions, we will ask for public comment. Do we have any members here present who would like to comment? Please, thank you.
Thank you, Barry Brandon, citizen of Morro Bay. Last fall, or a couple of months ago, there was a leak in a pipe that from the lift station in the cloisters, and I know we went through and sleeved it, and I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember, but there was a lady named Irma Bombeck. And she always said that the grass is always greener over the septic tank. Well, I want to tell you that the grass near our lift station in the cloisters, that whole area where we had the spill before, is really greening up. And I wondered if maybe someone should take a look. It's because it's substantial green, and we may have to rent a goat to keep that grass down. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And do we have any other live audience member comments? And if not, do we have any virtual audience members who would like to comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no virtual comments.
All right. Thank you. In that case, we can proceed to business item A3, the capital projects update. And for clarification, one of the questions previously discussed does relate to this update.
Good evening, Eric Riddio, City Engineer. Thank you, Chair, and or Acting Chair and Board. The capital projects update, it's something we are trying to do on a routine basis to give the board current status of capital projects and next steps. There's, as you are aware of, there are numerous projects, so I don't intend to go through all the projects. I will highlight ones that maybe have recent developments or have hit some kind of milestone, but certainly if there's any questions, I'll field those at the end. The spreadsheet, I'm just going to go down and I'll name the project that I'm going to be highlighting and just give you a short update. Starting in the facilities, one small update on electrical vehicle charging stations for both the Embarcadero and Del Mar. We met with the contractor this week at the Embarcadero to move forward with one of the stations that's scheduled to go in at the north end of the Embarcadero. One of the other locations, we still have some work to do with getting a design from PG&E, so that one is going to take some time. But we plan to move forward with the one as far as construction, hopefully before the end of this year. As far as the Del Mar Park, that station, the contractor has submitted plans to the city, which were approved. They are also in design with PG&E, which is a very lengthy process, so we're still waiting here from PG&E on that, because power needs to be brought from Ironwood towards the park. All the electrical is underground at that stretch of Ironwood that dead ends at Del Mar Park. As far as the harbor goes, we do have a couple projects that we have consultants working on design. The Beach Street slips, and the boat launching facility, or the new launch ramp. Both projects have been in progress for a while, but we have kind of reactivated those as far as getting the consultant teams together. So the design of the boat launch, because of the funding limitations on that, our intent is to get design done and then pursue grant funding, similar to what was done in the past with the Department of Boating Waterways and other potential funding sources. The Beach Street slips, depending on where the design comes in, our hope is that we have the funding in place for that. But we'll have to see once design is complete. And of course, for both the harbor and regular facilities, we're working on developing RFPs for both of those for finding a consultant to help us do a deep dive assessment of all the facilities. And so that RFP is, it's been in process, and we hope to get it out before the end of the year. But as you would imagine, there are a lot of facilities and a lot of things that need to be as far as properly scoped before we get the RFPs out. The bocce ball courts are close as far as the courts themselves. We're waiting on the final material, which is a specially made bocce surface. We've ordered several bulk sacks of that material to be delivered in the next few weeks. We looked at different various material types and met with the seniors at the community center, and your traditional oyster or shell type surface is cost prohibitive, so we looked at a more cost effective option for that, and this it's called bocce surface. And it's a product with a proprietary blend of products that will be durable and is easy to maintain and will not be windblown and other things. So, but we're waiting for that to be delivered. And then that will be, the courts themselves will be completed, but we're also in process on looking at landscaping plans and other improvements to the site. Just kicked off design with a consultant for the Lila Kaiser parking lot rehab. And then as well, the police department parking lot as well. That's a project that's been in progress for some time. I wanted to add that. That's, I believe, several years old. So I need to add that to this spreadsheet as well. As far as the sewer, the wharf project, which I won't go into any detail on that because that's a whole other project in itself. The lift station number one was brought up during public comment, and we are aware of it does appear that the grass is green in that area, but we did have a recent storm that all of the a lot of the stormwater drainage is at that same location, so that could be a contributing factor to keeping the vegetation lush, but we'll certainly look into that. But the lift or the main replacement is in design and is nearing completion of design, so we hope to have that project out to bid before the end of the year as well. In streets, tomorrow we have a pre-construction meeting with the contractor Papich Construction to kick off the first pavement project, which is our arterial digout project, which we're looking at starting construction in mid-November. Contracts in place, as I mentioned, pre-con tomorrow, and we'll be getting a schedule and be looking to probably through the end of year, certainly on construction. And if with wet weather, we'll have to keep an eye on that. And but with the digouts, it's something that they look at blocks of time when there's weather is clear and they're able to get areas dug out and paved back within, you know, 1 or 2 days. So it's not something that certainly if it's a lot of wet weather, we will just have to delay, but we will keep the weather, of course, in mind as we work on that project. The 141 main intersection improvements, we're still in the PANED phase. We had a meeting with Caltrans and SLOCOG yesterday to kind of get a status update from Caltrans. One of the significant time drivers of where we're at in that process is this phase one, extended phase one for cultural resources and getting some traction to move forward on that with Caltrans. Is it's sensitive and it's something that's very lengthy. So we're hoping to have answers from Caltrans on timing so that we can move forward into the environmental phase and then looking at the different alternatives there. Our wayfinding project is in construction right now as well, and we have a couple photos just to show some of the progress that Greg is gonna display. Here's one of the photos. There's another at the north end of the Morro Creek crossing. So as you may or may not remember, the wayfinding is not just for vehicle signage, but also on our multi-use paths and pedestrian focus as well. I believe the signs at South Bay have been put in as well. They're much bigger signs. I don't believe we have those photos here, but all of the signs on wood posts have been installed. The ornamental signs in the downtown will be probably in the next 2 weeks. And then I'll just talk to board member Irwin's comments about striping. The next pavement project is focused on surface seal and parts of Main Street are going to be in that scope, and one of the things when we do a surface seal we'll look at is striping, if there's ways to focusing on bicycle safety, if there's existing class 2 lanes, maybe we can add buffers. If there isn't enough space to accommodate, we'll do what we can to look at narrowing travel lanes that are appropriate for the speed limit. We'll have a traffic engineer help us out with that. And I did take note to look at North Main. I think your microphone isn't on.
What I noticed was that they used the bike lane for parking, and now that we've got curb and gutter, most places we have more than adequate room to take care of the parking in a bike lane without having to steal from the west side of the main street.
Yeah, the west side is really tricky because it's up against a chain link fence. So I noticed that many bikes don't even want to travel on that side. They'll just come down on the east side. So I think it's something we'll look at for the whole corridor. Is there a way we can, you know, all ideas are on the table. If there's a way we can put both travel, bike travels on the same side, and look at bringing the parking off the curb and kind of create a class four type situation. I don't know. There's definitely options we can look at. We just need to make sure the geometry's there, because if we don't have the room, then you have to acquire right of way or look at, which is very costly and would be appropriate for like an active transportation type project. But striping options are a relatively inexpensive way to look at attacking speed issues and safety for cyclists. So we're going to look at that.
So, hey, Eric, are there rules about where the green paint can be used on bike trails, on bike lanes?
There aren't necessarily rules. There's guidelines, and it really is up to the jurisdiction. It's a very expensive for maintaining. I think initially we saw, for example, in San Luis Obispo, they would paint entire lengths of bike lanes with green paint, and of course over time it would fade and peel, and in the areas where vehicles were crossing it, you know, where the tires turn, it comes up. So what I've seen done more is in conflict areas. They would just focus on putting it in the conflict areas to bring attention to vehicles. And then at actual areas where the wheels are going across it, it's broken so that there's not as much to maintain, and maybe even looking where the tires are driving through, they'll stagger it so that when people are turning, they're not actually turning on the paint. So, but the that is something we plan to expand. We do have funding through some transit money that's focused on bike safety, bike projects. That is a good candidate for that type of project. So, another update is, we have a kickoff meeting in 2 weeks to start our citywide speed survey. So we have a consultant on board to help us, Central Coast Traffic Transportation Consultants, and they're right here in Morro Bay, so they're very knowledgeable of our city. We'll be meeting with the police department, folks in public works, and I do want to extend an invite possibly to a couple members of the PWAB. If you're interested, if you wouldn't mind emailing me, and I can send you an invite. I believe it's on the 29th. Yeah, if you are interested, let me know and I can include you. The local roadway safety plan is one that we're still working on that RFP, but that's soon to follow. We wanted to get the speed one going and then follow up with that and stagger them a little bit. The Juniper Elena storm drain repair is a very, very important one as well. That it's, as it's in the name, emergency. It's some, we have the design. We had to do some tweaks on the design because there's a sewer line in the same easement that it's old vitrified clay pipe that we want to replace that section while we're in there because it's a tight easement and you put the storm drain in and there's a sewer line underneath it. It makes sense to replace it while we're there so we don't have to go back and maintain that at a future time. So, but that is when we're planning to get out to bid before the end of the year as well. Moving down to transit, the City Park Transit Hub, we did bring an update at a past meeting. It's not as time sensitive, but we are planning to get that advertised for bid later this year. But construction is likely to occur probably in the spring of 2023. We want to beat the Art in the Park season. We want to have it completed by then. So that is our hope. And the water tank rehab project. I don't know if those photos came through. Yeah, I had a couple photos, but maybe for the next meeting. We're making progress on that project. King's tank number 2 is complete as far as recoating. That's the bigger of all of our tanks. And now the contractor is over at Blanca, the Blanca site, working on Blanca 1 and 2, which are welded steel tanks. And the blasting operations on the exterior has been completed. They're working now into the interior. And with that, there will be some, excuse me, some patch repair to the roof before the coating progresses. So I do want to make note that we've been working with the contractor this week over the last couple weeks on an amendment to the contract, excuse me, that will be going to City Council next week. And what it will be covering is the back two tanks, Blanca's 3 and 4, are bolted steel tanks from the 1960s. And the thought was originally to recoat those, blast and recoat, but it was found that that would not be, because of the parent thickness of those tanks to begin with, they're not really meant to be recoated and blasted, and there would be potential issues. So amendment 1 of the contract was to do what's called a factory rehab, and that was about the time I started with the city. And one of the things, as we've gone through the project further, that I've expressed desire for is to have those tanks, while we're essentially having these tanks rehabilitated completely, we'd like to address the foundation and seismic issues as well. So that's going to be done. And that is the reason for this amendment, too, is to add the scope to actually address the foundational issues. So the tanks will be the same footprint, same volume, but we'll be doing the work on the foundations as well. The added work is within the budget for the project, so I know that's probably something that would be on everyone's mind. Are we still on budget? And the answer is yes. The current contract with Superior Tanks is about, I believe, excuse me a second, $2.3 million, and I think this would take it up to $2.8. Actually, it's $2.4. The amount of the amendment is just over $400,000. And that not only takes care of the foundations of the tanks, but also the bolted steel themselves completely rehabbed, and then there was a small item we wanted to add as well for cathodic protection that was overlooked during design, and it's about $20,000. So, but the details of that will be going to council next week. So I think that's all of my highlights of projects that we've been working on the last couple of months, and we continue to move forward and see things happening in our community. So I can take any questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Radio. Are there any questions from the board?
I have one. Eric, I'm sorry I forgot or don't recall the plan at the King's Tanks, but I'm curious why Tank 1 isn't going to be seeing any maintenance work done. I walk by there often on lunch breaks, taking a hike. It's got a lot of the same signs from the outside that that Tank 2 had. Was the condition of it not critical enough to be included in this contract, and will it be addressed at some point in the future?
Thank you for the question. King's Tank 1 is part of the contract. So the reason we moved to Blanca is because of state water shutdown. We are going to be taking that. It would be ideal to have that tank down when we're not receiving state water. So that was the intent. There's been some moving around of things and working with the contractor, and there's no cost implications as a result of moving things as far as where they're working. This was actually worked well for the contractor to move over to Blanca to do those as well. But to answer your question, that tank will be fully rehabbed as well.
Well, thank you. Any additional board questions? I have one that just something I was curious about, and I don't have an engineering background, so forgive me, but I know we've had several discussions over the time about repaving and the expenses of repaving, and I was curious if there are any vehicle weight restrictions on it, any of the roads in Morro Bay, or if that's something that you've considered.
There certainly are designated truck routes, and based on the road classification that factored into that, we have very few arterials in Morro Bay, but those would be the streets that would accommodate truck traffic the best. But as far as weight restrictions, I mean, the only weight restrictions I'm aware of are mostly at bridges, and as far as roads themselves, typically you design a road for the traffic index or the TI based on the type of vehicles that it sees, and a huge factor that is truck count. So when a TI is developed for a street, which it is one of the many things on my list to look at, standards and specifications. Our standard specifications for our roads are quite outdated, so it's one thing I'll be looking at is what are the TIs for our collectors, our residential streets, our, you know, I know that our residential street TIs probably are way out of date and don't accommodate the garbage truck traffic we see on a daily basis. So, but that's a long answer to your question. Yeah, we don't have any rating other than TI is kind of how you traditionally would rate a road for the type of traffic it sees.
No, that's helpful. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other board questions?
I have one question. Eric, what's a TI?
Traffic index.
Thank you.
There also was, Jan was asking me on the side what pipe breaking was, and that's, do you want to describe it or should I describe it?
Are you referring to pipe bursting?
Or? Yeah.
Pipe bursting is a trenchless technology for replacing a pipeline, and it's exactly kind of how it sounds. You insert another a tool that actually breaks the pre-existing pipe in place, and it's normally done on, it's easily done on clay pipe because clay is very brittle and not very strong. You can do it on lots of different pipe types, but clay breaks up nice and gets embedded into the surrounding soil nicely, and then you just insert your new pipe inside, and sometimes you have to exert a lot more force if you're looking to have a bigger diameter. So you can't really do pipe bursting if you're going up dramatically in size of diameter. It's for, you know, incremental increase, but it actually breaks the pipe and it stays in place and you put the new pipe in.
Any final questions? And if not, I will ask if anyone present would like to make any public comments.
Thank you, Barry Brannon, Morro Bay. On your page 14 of 42, this is in the area talking about the WRF, the sewer, excuse me. And the last one, it's a new, it says project number new. And it says wastewater treatment plant decommissioning. And we have a number here of $9,185,000. And it comes from the sewer fund. And I was wondering if there was any documentation or any place that I can go to find out where this engineering estimate came from. I did some review. I went back 7 years the last time that this was reviewed. And there was an estimate back by Black and Veatch to the reconditioning of the sewer plant. And at that time, they show an approximate cost to demolition of about almost $5 million. So I know that we've had 7 years pass, and so we went up to $9 million. So my question is, in that previous estimate, there was a 50% contingency in their estimate. I read it this afternoon. And I wonder if there's any backup on this number or if you can point me someplace in the city documents that I can go to find that. Thank you.
Would you like to respond?
Sure, we could respond. Typically, we go through all the public comments first and then respond to all of them.
Good point. I should ask if any virtual audience members would like to comment.
Thank you, Chair. We have no virtual comments.
Okay, thank you.
So to the question about the engineer's estimate for the wastewater treatment plant decommissioning, Yes, we did have an engineer's estimate developed for that. That's certainly something I could send to the constituent if the constituent reaches out to me. If the PWAB's interested in that as well, I can send that out. Once I find it, I'll have to do some digging, but I recall that we had some estimates put together in preparation of this fiscal year's budget with that one included. I would also mention that decommissioning may encompass more than just the demolition aspect of the project. There may be other aspects, anything from property acquisition to potentially some repurposing of some structures on site there that might be included in that estimate. But again, I don't recall exactly what was in that estimate, so I'd have to look, but I can send that out if I get an email.
That brings up another question. How is the divorce settlement with Cayucas going?
I don't have an update on that at this time.
Any other board discussion on this topic? And if not, we will move on to Chair, our, yes.
If I may make a comment.
Oh, please.
We just heard Mr. Riddio go through several capital projects that are in progress, and I don't even think he mentioned all the projects that the engineering team is working on. I think the level of progress, and I'm opining here, but the level of progress that we're making on our capital projects front is quite extraordinary, considering we're in the middle of the largest capital project that the city has ever had and probably ever will have. And we're doing it basically with 1.5 engineers. So I'd just like everyone listening tonight to keep that in mind. We have a very small staff here in the city of Morro Bay. Sometimes we'll get questions from the public. That pulls us off our duties for a couple of hours. Sometimes we'll get called into meetings. But despite that, despite all those distractions, we still have several very important critical capital projects that are happening right now and are in progress. So I just want to acknowledge that and recognize that.
Thank you, and we do appreciate your hard work on these difficult issues. That was an informational item, so we do not need a motion. And we can move on to our final item of business, which is A4, a discussion of Planning Commission Subcommittee Report on Public Benefits. And is there a presentation from staff?
Thank you, Acting Chair Beal. Yes, there is. Janine Burlingame will be giving a very short presentation, and we hope to have some lively discussion from the PWAB on this item.
Thank you and good evening. Per the Morro Bay Municipal Code, there exists various scenarios where a project developer may be required to provide significant public benefits in addition to meeting the requirements, minimum requirements or considerations from the Planning Department and the Zoning Code. Some of those are large development projects. Some of them are projects along the waterfront that may seek for modifications to some of those requirements from the city, like maximum building height, minimum lot coverage, et cetera. And historically, what has happened is that the applicant would meet with the planning staff and talk about the project and talk about what kind of public benefits the city may be looking for or desiring to be a part of that project that is getting applied for and reviewed for approval. Currently, there's no list that's been put together, and so what the Planning Commission felt what would be helpful is developing a list of different public benefits that could be provided to an applicant during that development process for their application that they could pull from and put in with their application. And so what the Planning Commission had done was to create a subcommittee of two of their board members and then a member at large from the public. And what they did was they developed a menu of different public benefits, which is attached in your staff report tonight. And what they wanted to do is have the other advisory bodies and commissions for the city take a look at that, look at their subcommittee report, as well as the public benefit menu that was developed, and get comments and feedback. Are there items that are missing from that list that we would like to add to that? Or are there some items on there that are not felt to be as important as some others? And then what they want to do is take that input and information back to the Planning Commission at a later date once they've met with all the other boards and commissions and have another review of that list and make a finalization for that and recommend that to the City Council. And then the City Council would take that up and review that, provide their own comments, make their own changes. And then what would come from that would be basically a tool to use during the applicant's development of their project. And so what you have before you is the subcommittee's report. that went initially back to the Planning Commission is the one that they're circulating to the different boards and commissions, as well as the public benefit list or menu that has been initially created. And so what I'd like to do is turn it over to the board for discussion and any additional items that might not be on this list that you would like to have recommend to be included, and turn that back over to you. I don't see Sean Green. He was one of the members on the subcommittee. He was planning to attend. I don't see him in the audience here, so I don't know if he's available online, virtually, if he wanted to speak a little bit about the subcommittee and their process for development or not. And if he isn't, then I will just turn it over to the board for your discussion.
Thank you for that. So questions and discussion from the board. Would anyone like to begin?
When I skimmed through this last night, I was looking for bike parking, bike racks. That was something that I currently would be looking to use when I go downtown or when I go to other places. For example, outside of the Vets Hall here, there is a bike rack that is a modern bike rack, and it's easy to fit many bikes on it and lock them up. So secure and convenient bike parking.
I had sort of a general comment in looking this over, and I would like, it would be useful to have more time to look at it more thoroughly if there's any request for additional information at a later date. But one thing that occurred to me was that in determining what is the substantial benefit, that some consideration of, for lack of a better phrase, cumulative effects of multiple, I know we're not using the word variance, but modifications granted would result in. I'm sure there's areas, for example, where you wouldn't want every building to be exceeding the height threshold, and that if that were allowed, it would reduce the public benefit that's being, you know, otherwise achieved. You know, I haven't given this a lengthy consideration, but it sort of struck me that that's a factor in determining, you know, whether the benefit's in fact being achieved or not.
I've lived here a long time, and I've heard lots of complaints about the ability to get anything through planning and all the changes that are made, and I'm one who's always thinking, don't make tall buildings. But I can see the need for buildings with shops down below, multi-use things. But anyway, I like the pathway approach. It's based on the square footage, and I was concerned, though, about what exactly is a public benefit. And like Robert said, he would think a public benefit would be a bike parking place or bike things. And it doesn't really define, everything is sort of on a case-by-case basis, as they said here. What they did say that a public benefit would not be that something would bring in more tax to the city, which I liked, that the public benefit should be, or maybe the public, how it looks, how you feel at ease around the place, how you can use it, not based on how much tax revenue it's going to bring into the city. So I like that. But so I think it's a good start. And they keep asking, they said that they would always seek public input, which I know they do now, with the postcards they send out for anything change that's within 500 feet of a building that's going to go in. And then everything else, I know they've been working on this a long time, and I think that, okay, the pathway approach is a good way to start. I think it's a good place to have step one. I don't know, and for the small projects, it seems like just the public input with the the one-time public input with the postcards being sent out is a good thing. When it gets into medium or larger ones and they add more length of time for public inputs, or they give two or three times for the public to say something, it's a very good thing. I think I just hope the public participates and they don't wait until it's all done. But I think it's good, a good guideline to start with. If you have to start somewhere, this is good, and maybe it will help speed things along, cut out the backup in the permitting line and things. So that's all.
I'll just add, and this is really, I guess, more of a personal opinion, because a lot of these people are going to have different values and place, you know, a different public benefit value on different things depending on their own interests. I tend to be a little wary of things that are monetary contributions. I mean, definitely that can be a benefit, but if, you know, the overall intent of the current process is to, you know, manage development. So depending on, you know, a builder with deep pockets, maybe they've got money to put at the problem, but at a community scale and sort of environmentally and the public and community's experience in those spaces is still going to be negatively affected.
I agree with that. I don't want somebody to come in and say, well, don't you know who I am, and give us lots of money and they can break all the rules. So I like that the public benefits should be for the public under our city plan.
Is there under this procedure, is there any distinction between public as Morro Bay residents and community members versus tourism public?
That I don't know. That is more of a question for the planning division.
Okay.
As we were not part of the process in this development, I'm not sure whether that aspect was taken into consideration or not.
I'm curious because, and I'm channeling the Nextdoor app here, but I can imagine some people thinking that offering free Wi-Fi along the Embarcadero is maybe not the public benefit they're looking for. I'm picturing people, tourists glued to their phones, like bumping into each other. But again, I know these are very value-based, and these are just sort of some personal observations. Any other discussion from the board members or questions?
I'm just looking at this thing that just caught my eye, was the Centennial Park stairway update. A long time ago, there was a discussion about if any of those properties up at the top sold where Jen's house, where Chiano Realty is and stuff, I think, that they would buy that, but they would have to make a certain improvements to the stairs, and they would have, and the plan that was put, that the city had planned, was that there would be, it was just a big plan that was almost be more expensive than whatever project you were gonna put in. And they would extend down across the Embarcadero where people would have more outside seating space, you know, on that, when you go across the street from the stairway, it goes right out to the ocean there. I think it's a good idea, but if there were certainly a lot of public benefits to that, but is there a limit to how much of a public benefit you can ask from a potential builder?
So I'll just jump in here, and I haven't seen that plan myself, but I've heard that idea kicked around, and I've heard it said that if that property were to be developed, that the stairs would have to be upgraded by that developer. But that said, this is stepping a bit out of our realm, as we're not the ones that set conditions. So the Public Works Department isn't the one that sets conditions on these builders. Oftentimes, that's coming from the Planning Department, and it's a bit outside of our area of expertise to be able to answer that question.
But just they were asking our opinion, so I just thought I'd throw that out.
That's fair.
I had one final point I was curious about. If to build on what Lori was saying with the Nextdoor app and online use that a lot of us have these days, I wonder if public comment could go online for projects. That way, people could make a comment and the planning team could respond to the comment online for everyone to see, to make it a little more transparent as far as how comments are coming in and how they're being approached, and allow for all public to see what others have input about a project. Maybe it affects somebody differently from the public.
As I understand your comment, Board Member Nava, you're saying that the projects could be posted on Nextdoor for comment, or are you saying that when there are comments on Nextdoor that the Planning Department could monitor those comments and comment back?
Maybe not to use the application Nextdoor, but to provide an application or a forum similar to it for public comment through the city's website as part of the application process.
Yeah, it's certainly feedback that we could pass along.
So any other board member comments or questions?
I'm not sure how to approach this thing. When you define a public benefit, you know, as an engineer, I think public works type stuff or providing a service to the city, which would improve the life for the people around here. I'm not sure that public benefit as defined or described in this report really is well enough described in order that we can say this is something we want to add to the city or not, or how do we negotiate that. And my experience with cities is that it's always a case-by-case basis and depends on who you talk to at the city, whether it turns into a public benefit or if it turns into something that the city decides to take on in order to enhance the benefit of the proposed project.
Board Member Irwin, I think that's a fair point. I think the idea here is that the Planning Commission thought it a good idea to get public input on sort of a list that could serve as guidance for city staff on ways that, on a case-by-case basis, projects could incorporate some public benefits. And in doing so, they asked the PWAB just for the PWAB's thoughts on it. And anyone that listens to the PWAB meeting or makes a public comment to the PWAB meeting, that's just the input that they're looking for.
I don't think that I saw this mentioned, but it could have been and I missed it, but it occurs to me that potentially development that enhances resilience to whatever, you know, risks, flood, might, you know, be valuable as a public benefit.
That could include stormwater installations, yeah.
Looks like we are finished with our discussion. Yes? All right. We can now move to ask if there are any members of the public who would like to comment. Any member of the audience? Any virtual member of the audience would like to comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no virtual comments.
Okay, thank you. I think that concludes all of our business items for today. So thanks, everyone. And next, we discuss future agenda items for the next meeting. Do any board members have items they would like to propose for future consideration?
If I may, I'll ask the board if there's interest in having the IWMA come to give a presentation sometime first half of next calendar year to talk about their outreach efforts.
That would be appropriate. Shouldn't be a long presentation. It just kind of list the sort of things they do.
Okay, we'll certainly request that of them.
All right, and then staff future agenda items?
Yeah, we have a few listed here. Some will be hopefully bring to the PWAP soon. Others are kind of ongoing things that we might bring at a later time. But I do want to put out a reminder that we will be having a special meeting, but at our normal third Wednesday at 5:30 in November. So in the bylaws, PWAP gets a break for the months of November and December, but because we have some critical items coming through November, we are asking that PWAP hold a special meeting. Probably the most important of those is the WRF quarterly report, which we like to have the PWAP review before it goes to City Council. And so the only time that we'd be able to do that is at the special meeting. So again, normally we don't have a meeting in November, but this year we are going to hold one. And that's on November 6th, 16th at 5:30 p.m.
All right, with that, we can adjourn the meeting. It is 6:50 p.m., and thanks, everyone, for participating. See you next time.
Thank you.